Hi, I'm Anthony Brabazon.
And I'm Paul Caffrey.
And this is God Talk for the next half hour on 90.3 Near FM.
Where we'll be talking about the things that matter and grappling with the big questions of life from a biblical perspective.
And our website is godtalkradioblog.wordpress.com. And Twitter is @NearFMGodTalk.
And you can join the discussion through our text line 087-979-5454.
And this week, Paul, what we're going to be doing is looking at right and wrong. So good to have you back in the studio.
Yeah, good
Paul.
To be here. Great to be here.
Now, the first thing I'm going to do is give a quote because it's Oscars week and I hope your favourite film won. But we'll see about that.
I don't even know who have the nominations.
There you go. Anyway, Anne Hathaway is a famous actress and she recently said this. She said, "I'm focused less on doing the right thing and more on just being in the moment. I'm not actually interested in right or wrong anymore."
Wow.
Yeah. So with that note, we went on the street on Saturday, actually, on Henry Street. And we asked a few people about right and wrong. So let's give this a go, OK? OK, hi. Question for you, sir. Is there any real right or wrong?
What do you mean about real right and wrong?
No, is there... You know, right and wrong, is it in your mind? Has people set up their own rights and wrongs, or do you believe there's an outside objective truth?
It's in some cases it could be wrong to say it's wrong and right to say it right. So I would say in that question I would say, is there any real right or wrong? No.
No. Okay. And how do you decide yourself what's right and wrong in your own life?
Experience, I would guess.
Experience,
yes.
Okay.
And things I have done before, learned by
bitter experience.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And is there anything outside your own personal opinion that determines what is right and wrong? What I mean by that is it's just you judging.
You always get inputs based on what you see and hear and. My wife, for instance.
So she tells you what's right and wrong. Yeah. And something like the Ten Commandments, do you think that has a place in saying what's right and wrong? You know, the commandments like thou shalt not steal or kill.
Yeah, but that's I don't believe in that kind of direction of religion or something, but I see the good things in people,
okay.
Yes.
And
you are not supposed to steal something that's not yours. So that's basic things, that's not commands.
Okay, so do you believe that God has anything to say about right and wrong?
No.
No, can you explain that?
Because there are no God, it's only me or you.
Oh, there's no God, you're saying. And do you know all things? No. But can you say, you're saying I don't believe in God?
I do not believe in God, yes.
Okay, but do you say there is no God?
Where do you know it?
No, not for me.
You don't say that?
No.
Yeah. You just don't believe in God.
That's correct.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Good. I like your questions, Anthony. The first one starts with a very general, is there any right or wrong? Mm-hmm. And he says there isn't really any wrong. Isn't that already more or less said no?
Well, he said...
He started by saying no.
He said sometimes it's wrong to say it's wrong. It's kind of very confusing that.
Well, that's a contradiction, isn't it? It's wrong to say it's wrong.
Yeah, but... Yeah, he obviously had a very relative view of life, you know, and of course, and that's until his wife stepped into the room.
Yeah, there is an authority there, all right, when you asked him, is there anything outside your own opinion or feelings? And he said various inputs, but he didn't specify what they were. But he said my wife, for instance, was a source of authority.
Yeah, well, he's quite clear. He was an atheist, this man. He is from Norway. He didn't believe in religion, as he called it. And then he mentioned something about this place called Valhalla, whatever that is.
Oh, did he? I didn't pick that up.
Well, he told me that off air afterwards.
Okay.
But, you know, I think it's typical of some of the other interviews we come up against, you know, where people have this very relative view of right and wrong.
Yeah, he said you learn by experience. And I wondered what that is. You said, well, bitter experience. In other words, if something turns out badly.
Yeah.
In other words, if he does something and he's caught or it is a consequence, he gets into trouble or it turns out badly, he files that away for future reference. That's not a good thing to do. So he's kind of, he learns as he goes along.
Yeah, very good. Well,
yeah, there's a line of Shakespeare to, of course, let me think of it. Oh, yeah, to willful men, the injuries that they themselves procure must be their schoolmasters. In other words, if you're willful, if you're very determined, he says your injuries, the damage you do to yourself, that becomes your teacher.
All right.
So he might be in that school, all right.
Well, the next one, we went all the way from Norway to Mullingar.
Well, so this is very international. Yeah. Okay.
Ah, damn.
Here we go. Okay, first question. Is there any real right or wrong?
No.
Okay. And how do you decide what's right and wrong in your life?
Well, if it's the right thing to do, then it's the right thing to do. And if it's the wrong thing, then you know yourself. Then at the end of the day.
But how do you know if it's right?
If you do a good deed and it feels right to you.
Feels good.
It feels good, and you have. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Is there anything outside of your own personal opinion or feelings that determine what is right and wrong?
Well, look, the world is changing, so I mean, you're going to have all people's with their own opinions, whether you're right or wrong on anything. Like, you know, I mean, how do we know what's right and what's wrong these days? Or yeah. Saturday, you know.
But is anything like, say, the Ten Commandments, for example? Do you think that comes into it? Or not?
Well, everybody's going to bring religion into it at some stage, then you have homophobic and all the other stuff, you know, that I don't think is right, but yeah. Other people want to go ahead and use this word and that word, and I don't think it's right, like, but okay. That's my opinion on that, like.
Very good. And finally, do you believe that God has anything to say about right and wrong?
That is a million-dollar question. I don't know. I mean,
I'm not giving you $1 million, sorry.
I know, that's just it. Like, I don't know, you see. How do we know if God has anything to say about right or wrong? Like, you know, if you basically do wrong things, then you go to hell. If you do good things, you go to heaven. That's what I've been told. So I assumed, that's...
Yeah, well, I mean, in the Bible, it does talk
about
that.
But it
puts it in a different context because we all did wrong. You know?
Yeah, like so I think if you do good, I think if you do good deeds all your life, I think you're rewarded. And I think if you do bad things, I think you're not rewarded.
And did you think the man Jesus had anything to say?
Well, I assume so. Everybody seems to have their opinion on that as well, too. Like,
And what's your opinion on him?
I don't know. I mean, I am religious, but the problem is. I don't know what other people think. I mean, what I think is what I think, and what other people think is what they think. Like, you know, I mean, we could be here all day.
Yeah.
You know.
Very good.
So,
thanks very much for your
time.
No
problem.
Very different. This man, Mullingar man, definitely says he's religious.
Yeah.
And he talks about being rewarded in an afterlife, presumably for good and evil that you do.
Yeah, it was difficult in the Vox Pop to explain about to give a full answer to that one. But he did have some sense of right and wrong himself, even though, on the other hand, he says the world is changing. He is suggesting that the standards change with the world's opinion, etc. Because we know today there's things accepted that would never have been accepted years ago.
Without a doubt. And,
it doesn't mean they're right, it's just accepted.
The moral landscape in Ireland particularly has changed drastically in the last generation, certainly since I was a young man. The other thing I thought was interesting to me was he said, well, we don't really know what God considers right or wrong, which is an extraordinary answer, because if you want to know, there's no problem, there's a book there. God's standards are very clear from the scriptures. If you took even just any one of the four gospels, for example, like the Gospel of Matthew, you read chapters 5, 6 and 7, very, very clear what Jesus teaches there about right and wrong.
So
it's very strange for someone to say, well, we don't really know what God considers or what is right or wrong by God's standard.
Well, I think it's a challenge we come across in God Talk very often. You know, we meet religious people, and yet the depth of their religion is quite shallow in this regard, that they don't have a biblical understanding of things. They might have been told something and latch on to a few bits of truth, but then add a lot of their own kind of humanistic worldview with it. And anyway, that was a man from, this chap was from Mullingar, and I told him all my hydrolations came from there, so we'd be glad to chat afterwards.
So who knows where's our next person from?
Oh, the next was a girl. I think she was Dublin, and it was a humanist view. So let's hear this one.
So good.
Hi, just first question. Is there any real right or wrong?
No, I think it depends on the circumstance. Like, that sort of, there's an opinionated answer to that question.
Okay, so how do you decide what's right and wrong?
I just go by my own, like, genuine moral instincts.
Your own feelings, like?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And is there anything outside of your own personal opinion or feelings that determines what is right and wrong? Is it fully your feelings, like, fully yourself?
Yeah, I suppose it is fully my feelings. Like, before, it obviously would have been a moral code set by, like, parents or teachers or by a certain rule, but I've, like, matured enough to follow my own, like, moral code.
Finished with all that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And do you believe God has anything to say about right and wrong?
It obviously, again, depends on the person. It depends on whether you have religious beliefs or not.
What do you believe? Say, like, the Ten Commandments or something. You know, it's a thou shalt not steal or kill.
I'm personally a humanist, so I go by whatever is best for myself and the people around me. So, so something like the commandment, for example, thou shalt not kill, I'd go by something like that simply because it would benefit people around me and myself and my own moral codes. But there would obviously be other ones, such as,
if you
like,
were living with a headhunting tribe in Borneo and they thought otherwise, would you change your view?
Well, it obviously depends, because I didn't grow up being, like, fundamentally, I didn't grow up being fundamental in a certain area of religion, whereas some people have, so it obviously depends on your environment.
But do you believe anything is inherently right or wrong, independent of your feelings?
No, I think it's all circumstantial, being completely honest.
Circumstances, all depends on circumstances. There used to be a thing, I remember, when I was going through college, the moral theologians talked about a thing called situation ethics,
right,
which really meant that the right or wrong depended very much on the situation you were in. So something could be right today in one situation and tomorrow it's wrong in different situations. And I think that's very much what she's saying. It depends on the circumstances.
Yeah, an interesting thing I also picked up out of that interview was that she'd rejected the teachers and parents. She said, I've matured enough now. That's what I picked up anyway.
She did, yeah. She said she doesn't, no longer depends on teachers or parents. And I think to some extent there's something good about that, because we all need to grow beyond obeying just what we're told.
Was it a cutting away? Was it a rebellion of kind of a moral anchor in her life? I don't know.
Yeah, it could be that. As I say, that could be a positive. It could be saying, well, I no longer do things just because my parents and my teachers tell me to do it. I've internalized, I've developed my own set of moral standards by my conscience or by reading the scriptures or whatever. But I don't think that's not what she meant, because she said she's a humanist. And she said, thou shalt not kill is okay because that benefits those around me. That seemed reasonable to her. But then if you had something like no false gods or worship God, you know, if you look at some of the other commandments, or keep holy the Sabbath day, not take the Lord's name in vain, they wouldn't figure on her radar because they wouldn't obviously benefit people around her. So it's well, as she rightly says, she's a humanist. She measures everything by what's obviously good or bad from a human perspective.
As she sees it, yeah.
As she sees it, exactly.
That's kind of interesting. Okay, we'll move on to the next one. These are two girls together, actually, and they also have something interesting to say here, Paul.
Hiya. Is there any real right or wrong?
Is there any
both answer, right? Yeah.
Is there any real right or wrong?
That's a very personal opinion, I think. I don't know.
Okay, well, I get more personal then. How do you decide what's right and wrong?
That depends on the situation and who it's relative to. Like, it's not a very generic question. It depends on
the circumstance.
Yeah
Okay. And is there anything outside of your own personal opinion or feelings that determines what is right and wrong?
Yeah, other people's feelings and opinions, and depending how close they are to you.
Don't hurt their feelings, eh?
Morals and stuff, like,
and the source of morals, can you think of any,
like family, friends?
Yeah.
I suppose if you're religious, then obviously religion will come into it. If you're, like, whether it's, like, believing in God or, like, I don't say...
Having faith
or,
in something.
Yeah, it's faith in something. That will sway your opinion in one way or another.
Yeah, so do you believe that God has anything to say about right and wrong?
It's a question for you.
Huh?
Well, like, I think God is forgiving and stuff, but, yeah, like,
Do you think he sets the standard?
Well, I think God is different to every person and every individual. So,
in what way?
Well, like, what you believe in mightn't be what I believe in.
I think,
you know,
fate,
so I think everyone
fate is very important. Yeah. I think fate is very important. Whether it's fate in God or fate, like, it's, I think, religion or God or fate, and whatever it is very important to a person. Like, what I believe in mightn't be what you believe in, but if it gets you through today and makes you a good person, then there's nothing wrong with
but
that.
How do you handle a situation where your beliefs might be different to others? For example, you might believe it's okay to steal a few things and swipe the aisle, or just for example, and say download a bit of illegal music or something, but then you might go home and maybe a thief broke into your house and you wouldn't feel so good about that, right? So
but that's not being a good person. Like,
no, I'm just saying that theft as an issue, as an example, you know,
an extreme.
Yeah, it's not really, that doesn't like come into the category of
right. No, but my point
right
is there something outside of your opinion that it determines right from wrong? That's the question. Or is it down to your feelings?
There's law.
Law, yeah.
Yeah, the law. Okay. Yeah. Like law, faith, all that comes into it. But
sure, yeah.
Yeah, but like, I think like the issue of theft that you mentioned there, like it's quite extreme. Like, as in like, I think it's important to be a good person, do unto others as they do unto you. Like, you want to treat people as you want to be treated. You're not going to treat someone bad and then expect it to be treated good.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, that's double standard. So even if it is just illegal music or whatever you said, but that's still stealing. Like, if you're brought upright and you're taught to have morals, then you're not going to do that.
Yeah. Well, look, thank you very much for your time.
Somebody very different again. I mean, these two girls, they're certainly not humanists. One of them mentioned God several times.
Now, some faith, yeah.
Yeah, definitely faith. She understood that God is forgiving. As she said, God is forgiving and stuff. And but then she mentioned the faith was very important, even though she wasn't always clear what faith was in, which is important to have faith in something. And then mentioned the law as well. And then she quotes, do unto others. So there's a lot there that you could work with if you had more time to tease it out with her.
Yeah, still though, she said, talking about other people's feelings, you know, and is this word feelings, Paul, is such a modern thing, isn't it? That you don't offend people, you know, and their feelings, you know, it's like, this is the new religion, I think, you know, is don't stand on anybody's toes.
And that's kind of the ultimate.
Can be tough sometimes.
Yeah, the ultimate right or wrong depends on whether somebody feels good, whether I feel good about what I'm doing, or whether it makes somebody else feel bad or hurts somebody else.
Jesus would have been in big trouble calling them a brood of
Well,
vipers.
He was in big trouble. He stood on a lot of toes and he got into terrible trouble, and eventually, because he hurt the feelings of the religious leaders of his
and
day.
He also asked the wrong people in for a cup of tea, you know.
Yeah, and he ended up on the cross. I think our next person now is someone who, if I'm not mistaken, gives you a bit of a run for your money, Anthony.
You turned the tables on me, so this is a good one. Hey.
Hi, there's a few questions here. Right and wrong. Is there any real right or wrong?
I don't know, it's sort of a deep question for the afternoon that's in it, isn't it?
There you go, okay. And how would you yourself decide what's right or wrong?
Experience, weigh it up against the experience you've already had.
Sure, okay. And is there anything outside your own personal opinion that determines what's right and wrong?
Yeah, everybody else's opinion can affect yours as well.
Right, okay.
Yeah, for sure.
You mean keep them happy?
Yeah, well, in a sense, if everybody else is saying you're wrong, it's probably worth taking a look at it again, isn't it?
Right, so if you join your headhunting tribe in Borneo and they all think it's right to cut off heads, you'd say,
Well, no, I think you're leading me one direction. I'm just saying that if the general populace all said, listen, the idea that you have, it doesn't fly, then I think you'd have to have a look at things objectively again, wouldn't you?
Okay, and do you believe God has anything to say about right and wrong?
I don't believe in God.
At all?
At all, no.
You believe you don't believe in a maker?
Why, do you believe in God?
I do, oh yeah.
I like Ricky Gervais's take on that, which is there's about 3,000 gods out there, and you just believe in one more than I do.
Well, I believe in the Creator, not in all the kind of Hindu gods and all the funny gods.
What's the difference? What makes them funny gods?
Well, a God is a creator. The true God is the one who made it all.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
And so, you know, I do believe in that we didn't come around by an accident.
Yeah.
That nature and mankind is so complex and so amazing that it's designer. You know, if I showed you some children's art here, you'd say there's an intelligence behind the art.
Okay, so you believe in that all the circumstances basically have been so finely tuned that it just wouldn't make sense for there not to be a design and a plan.
Yeah, well, I mean, the chances of it happening by accident are so high that it makes it impossible.
Well, what about, say, every human that's born, the chances of you being born are so slim if you're talking about you're the one sperm that made it.
That's right.
But it's happening every day around you. It's happening every day around you. Look down the street, every one of these people is one in a million or whatever, you know?
That's right, we're all unique.
Yes,
yeah, one in a million. You're unique too.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Nobody made you. And it didn't even break the mould when they made you. No, you weren't made with the mould.
No, and I haven't even had a pint yet, but I'd love to get into this more. But
Okay.
We'll have to go for a pint and discuss it again.
Okay, good. God bless you. Thanks for your time.
Have a good day.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
Well, there you are, an invitation to go for a pint.
And did you go back for the pint?
No, I missed that one, actually.
Oh, well, you got to meet him again for that one.
Anyway, Paul, on God Talk, we look at things from a biblical perspective, and just to try and pull all this together in terms of what's the Word of God say. Maybe picking up on this last one.
Yeah, well, can I say something? I thought that was really good that you mentioned creation. And as you know, the classic arguments for the existence of God, one of them, the two of the big ones are creation, the argument from the order in creation. And you pick that up.
Yeah.
And that is, in fact, a lot of scientists and so on would look at that and say, yeah, there is a God because of the incredible order. You mentioned a few things in it.
Complexity, yeah.
Creation is one. And the other one is conscience. And if you remember C.S. Lewis, when we talked about mere Christianity, he starts off, the argument he takes from the very beginning is conscience. And an extraordinary thing, for example, people have a sense of shame.
Yeah.
So people are ashamed of things. Why would you feel shame if you didn't have some inbuilt sense of right or wrong?
Yeah, and a bit like different to the animal kingdom. I mean, a lion goes and tears a little Bambi
and feels
pieces.
No shame.
It doesn't feel shame.
Whereas an adult, for example, if you lose your temper with a child, for example, or you cheat somebody or you steal something, you actually have a sense of shame. So this points to the idea that within us there's an inner moral compass, which we usually call conscience. And remember the prophet Micah said, "He has told you, O man, what is good. Mm-hmm. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." That's Micah chapter 6, the Old Testament prophet. Uh-huh. So he says that the idea of justice and kindness and humility are goods that we recognize as good.
Also, I think James says, you know, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin.
So that's the three-letter word.
Against your conscience.
Sin comes in, yeah. So you go against your conscience. And remember then in Romans, where Paul builds up his argument in the early chapters of Paul's letter to the Romans, leading up to the great statements about justification by faith in chapter 3. But he builds it all up by saying that man knows by creation that there's a God and the God should be worshipped. And then he talks about the interior moral compass. And he says, well, the Jews have all this because they had their Old Testament. Yeah. But then he says that the Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature, some of them do what the law requires, and that they are a law unto themselves. Yeah. And even though they don't have the written law, that is the Old Testament, they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience bears witness and their conflicting thoughts accuse or excuse them on the day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. So he said the day of final judgment, people are going to be judged not just by what's written in the book, but by their own conscience, by what's written on their hearts.
Yeah, but come back to the issue of conscience, Paul. Can't it get a bit dull over time? You know, if you get kind of stubborn and you keep breaking the law, you know, I mean, you get guys, some toughened guys who've broken the law repeatedly. Maybe
so many
they're arch
times.
Criminals in the
sure.
city. I mean, do they have a sensitive conscience like others?
No, not their conscience is dulled. You know, the scripture speaks of a seared conscience. And of course, it can also be to do with the family and community standards or lack of them. So if you have a family, they've been two or three generations in crime.
Yeah.
Well, the children are not going to grow up with a keen sense of right and wrong with regard to stealing. And you mentioned your headhunter friends that you referred to a couple of times.
Yeah.
Clearly, they don't have any compunction at all. So their consciences, again, are not reliable compasses. You know the way a compass can be?
Yeah.
What happens That's when right. you know a strong magnetic force or
sure.
you put a compass in a certain situation, mm-hmm. the compass is useless. It doesn't point north anymore. And that's the problem with conscience. And that's why we have the book. And I think our last interviewee has twigged that, has come to that discovery.
Yeah, well, this is a real gem coming up because so we found somebody gave us some interesting answers. And in fact, we're going to wrap up the program with this. So you've been listening to God Talk on 90.3 Near FM. We're here every Monday at 5 p.m. and for the early birds on a Thursday morning, 5:30.
And we may come back to this topic again. There's lots more in it. And we barely touched it, but we do thank our interviewees that you met in Henry Street on Saturday.
Right, so till next week, but here we go, we're going to leave you with our last interview.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Oh, sir, we have a few questions for you. Is there any real right or wrong?
Oh, there's a right and wrong, all right. You should know the difference between right and wrong. Like, there's good and evil.
Uh-huh.
So, like, if a person doesn't know the difference between good and evil, they should go and see the doctor and get their head examined. Because I can discern between good and evil.
Very good. And how do you decide what's right and wrong?
Well, I'm going God's way. I'm not going man's way. There's a book here on the earth, and it's the only book from heaven. And it tells you in the book, the B-I-B-L-E, the basic instructions before leaving earth. It tells you where you're coming from and where you're going and the way you have to live. Because our Lord was here on the earth himself. 2019 years have passed since the Lord was here. But he told the devil when he was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So if you go by the word of God, you can't go wrong.
Very good. So a lot of people go by their own personal opinion as to what's right and wrong, or their own feelings, you know. But
yeah.
you're saying you allow the Bible to determine.
Well,
distinguish.
Yeah, well, the Bible is God's voice. It says that this book contains the mind of God and the state of man and the way of salvation and the doom of sinners and the happiness of believers. So you'll get all the great truths in the Holy Scriptures. And if the people do what the Holy Scriptures say, well, they're obeying God, because God's voice is God's word. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. That's his word. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish.
Well, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Well, God bless you, and thanks for asking me a few questions, because I'm out in the street here today. I used to be a gambling man, and I had no time for Jesus for 56 years. And I was in the Catholic Church, and I was in a Protestant church, but I had no time for Jesus. I had religion and no relationship with Jesus.
And so you have that relationship now?
I have a relationship with Jesus now, because I repented from my sins and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Saviour. As the scripture says, repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. So I wish I had done it when I was a younger fella, because I was in the bookies all the time gambling me money. So
yeah,
thanks for
my father used to be a steeplechase jockey, and so I know all about gambling and losing money. And you got wisdom to keep it in your pocket.
Yeah,
put your trust elsewhere.
That's right. Yeah, because many people, as the psalmist says, many trust in horses, and many in chariots. But I will trust in the name of the Lord. So the people they greatly err not knowing the scripture. They never read their Bibles much, but the people can read verses of scripture, and religious traditions being added to the word of God. The Lord Jesus says, because of religious traditions, you made the word of God of none effect. So that's a sad thing.
Well, thanks very much for your time.
God bless you.